Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Mental health and money. We have talked about this very broad topic in a number of ways and from a number of perspectives over the course of the last couple of years. It is hugely relevant, whether you are talking about spending or saving or debt management or investing or insurance or staying organized. I mean, it really is relevant everywhere. Today, we're going to focus on one specific aspect as it relates to financial decision making, because there are a lot of decisions, some very big ones like, am I going to buy a house? And some very small ones, should I buy that coffee or should I not buy that coffee? Our guest is Zindile Chiwanza. She is a personal finance journalist and financial wellness educator, and she's going to help us understand more about this connection between mental health and financial decision-making specifically. Hello and welcome.
Thank you for having me back, Bruce.
What is the connection here in terms of mental health and financial decision-making?
Right. So mental health conditions affect people differently, but there's definitely certain factors that we can all keep in mind when we're making decisions in our day-to-day. So whether it's depression, anxiety, impulsivity, ADHD, really a lot of common mental health conditions will impact how you manage and spend your money. So if you are having an episode of depression, it can be difficult to problem solve. You might not feel very motivated. You might find it hard to focus on tasks that usually might be easier for somebody else. And this can really make managing money more challenging. So when it comes to managing your money, you might also have trouble staying organized if you have symptoms of ADHD, for example, and have difficulty focusing on tasks, like I said, that most people might take for granted, such as making a call to a lender to negotiate a lower interest rate. Someone with anxiety might find that very overwhelming. Mm.
And, you know, for any of us, whether we're dealing with a mental health issue or not, we certainly can face decision fatigue. And the most tangible example I can think of is going grocery shopping at the end of a long day and knowing you need, shampoo, and you walk down that aisle and there are 14,000 different options there, and you just want a bottle of shampoo, but you just don't have anything left in the tank in order to make those kinds of decisions effectively. That reality times 100 if you're dealing with some of the root causes that you mentioned.
Right, because when our mental health declines or when we're facing financial difficulty, it's really difficult to feel like there's no way out of that situation. So you could actually end up leaving the grocery store without that shampoo in that case. Mm. So when it comes to dealing with hopelessness or overwhelm, it's better to make some lists or to maybe outsource that task if you're able to, just so you're not adding to the stress that's already there.
So as a personal finance journalist, you have covered this topic. What resonates for you in terms of your own experience?
Right. So I have definitely had faced challenges with my anxiety over the course of the pandemic. I know a lot of people have had increased issues with their mental health, but for me, it was definitely anxiety. And I felt like there was simple money related tasks that were just so complicated for me during that time. So usually I would be the person that's paying my bills on time and in full and in control of my situation. But I found myself missing a lot of deadlines, overpaying for certain things when I didn't need to. And also just avoidance. Avoidance is a huge problem in personal finance, because when we enter a dangerous situation, it's either we have that fight or flight response. It can be triggered very easily with personal finance. So if you have a perceived threat to your personal finance, and especially in my case, it just meant that I was avoiding it for as long as I could. And that definitely led to me having a little spike in overusing my credit card and having debt rather than tackling the situation that was at hand.
What are some of the things that people can do to, this is an and or question, improve the quality of the decisions that they make, given whatever else they're dealing with on a mental health front, and or reduce the decision-making burden for themselves?
Right. When dealing with multiple financial decisions at once, sometimes it's more likely to have a knee-jerk reaction. So instead of focusing, I would say it's better to focus on one financial decision at a time. So right now, a lot of people might be more worried about whether they have enough for a down payment for a house. But how about your day-to-day finances? Like, what is going on with your actual budget, right? So many people with mental health and money difficulties find it helps to actually involve either like their family members, partners, even friends in conversations about financial problems, because talking about it really helps you spot your patterns in your behavior and you feel more in control of your finances and more confident. So I'd really suggest that people feel more comfortable and find just one person at first that you trust, that you're able to have a conversation with about the challenges you're facing and involve them in your plan. So for me, I do have a friend that when I feel like I'm about to overspend on something that I don't need, but I want to buy something to make myself feel better, I'll give her a call and she will sort of snap me back to reality.
What are you thinking? Don't do it.
She will basically knows how to bring me back to a safe space to be able to know that I don't need that thing. It's just me trying to manage my emotions at that time. And I'll say also just that's what I call the right support. It's so important to have that. And we can definitely improve our financial situation by just those actions. And I think also seeking treatment as well. If you're able to talk to a therapist, maybe use some of your benefits from work. There are actually financial therapists out there now. So I suggest we all get on our Googles and look up financial therapists or coaches that deal with money and mental health. There are coaches that deal with people who have ADHD, coaches that deal with people who are living with depression and anxiety. So I think even setting up direct debits is another one. Not necessarily just, I know we talk about automating finances all the time when it comes to investing, but setting up your bills to come out is also really important if you have any symptoms of anything that might lead to a lot of forgetfulness or lack of motivation.
Yeah. Well, you're getting to the second part of the question here about reducing the decision-making burden. Do I spend on this or spend on that? That burden can be reduced when your bills are automated. They're paid and you're left, your discretionary spending is a much smaller piece of the metaphorical pie. I learned this in the food world, talking to a dietitian about having the exact same breakfast every single morning. So I didn't have to make any choices. It was I already chose for the rest of my life, man, the same breakfast. And it has made a very big difference for me in saving my decision-making fuel for things that really do require thought. And breakfast is not one of them for me.
I love that for you. And that is so important because it works for you. Someone else might be like, same breakfast every day. That will literally send me somewhere else. So I think that's like a really good point, though, when it comes to outsourcing. Some things work better for other people. Like I've had to actually put it in my calendar. Tomorrow, this bill is coming out so that I don't have that feeling when I open my bank account, like, oh gosh, another one gone bites the dust. I just find that it helps me. And that's what makes me happy. That might not mean like anything for someone else, but it does make me feel better about my finances. And that's what financial wellness is about. Being able to make decisions for yourself that will make your management plan sustainable and makes sense for you. There's not always a perfect solution. It will take some time, but I'd say just take one decision at a time and focus on progress and not perfection.
There are many ways one can dimensionalize mental health. And one of them is that there's an underlying condition that could be with someone for their entire life, diagnosed early and with them for their entire life. And then there are other mental health challenges that can be triggered over time with an incident that happens, a particularly stressful time of life, a job loss, a divorce, those sorts of things. For that second very broad category, what are the ways that people can reduce the severity of the triggers that they may face in life?
I'd say that's a really good point you bring up, because I think this information is still valid for anybody at any point in their financial journey. Because one thing we all have in common is we all have mental health. So you might have a day where you feel like I'm having a bad mental health day, or it might be something that you have struggled with for a very long time. But I'd say you need to get to know the feelings and the emotions that you have around money, no matter who you are. This way you'll spot the patterns in your behavior and you can feel more confident over time. So like I said, I know that when I am super stressed, the first thing that I want to do is shop. That just makes me feel better. I love some retail therapy.
Yeah.
And so I know that I have to put safeguards in place. For example, my credit card limit at the moment is a lot lower than I would say I see out there, because I know that I cannot handle that much credit at this point in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you so even if I am getting those emails every month, like you can increase your credit limit, I know that I will not be able to manage that, especially when my mental health is in poor condition. So but that I knew that because I got to know myself. I even had a journal where I wrote down my feelings around money every day for a couple of months. And I just noticed that pattern that when I was stressed, my first thought was to go online shopping. So it also looks like unsubscribing from emails, which show you that there's a sale every single day. Trust me, you're not missing anything. Because if you really needed that item, you will find a sale at another time. So I think, like I said, it's definitely mostly about managing your own emotions that you have around money. And so if you also know that you are lacking motivation or you need extra support, it's also good to, like I said, involve people in your plan, find someone you trust, or find a mental health professional that you can talk to about what you're feeling. And even if there's a support group online, there's some groups on Facebook, there's some Instagram pages if you prefer social media, where people are actually talking about their money wins, their money challenges in the comment section. Feel free to use the internet with money problems as well.
So many great, great ideas. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Zindi Lichuanza is our guest. She is a personal finance journalist, financial wellness educator. I feel like I have to re-listen to that interview because she had so many great ideas, including journaling.